one of my predecessors. Welcome to worship on this, the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. This evening, I will be preaching on the second lesson and the gospel. While I'm not going to say very much at all about our first lesson this evening, it is a prophecy against Jeroboam, the king of northern Israel. While Amos prophesies against those who trample on the poor, who afflict the righteous and take a bribe, who push aside the needy in the city gate, it is a clear warning against those political and religious leaders who, by their own example, foster the disintegration of human society. In many ways, it is a parable. It is a parallel to the story of John the Baptist and his prophecy against Herod Antipas in our gospel this evening. So as I speak about Herod in the sermon tonight, you might keep King Jeroboam likewise in mind. For our worship this evening, you will need three things: an at all times worship bulletin, a Lutheran book of worship, and a with one voice songbook. I hope you've got all three of those. They're in the back of the room by the door. Just a word about pronunciation in our gathering and invocation. The words with which we will begin are some of the oldest in the history of the liturgy. They are mainly Greek, which means they predate even the Latin from which much of our liturgy originally springs. The words are Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, and Spiritu eleison. And they are a call for God's merciful presence in our midst. Now, the interesting thing is that musically, these old, old words are set in a jazz idiom, a kind of swing. So if you feel like swinging a little bit this morning as you sing, please feel free to do so. And that goes for any part of our liturgy. If you get the urge to dance, please feel free. King David danced before the Ark of the Covenant, and sometimes we just have to let ourselves go also. I'll have some other instructions during the service itself. We take a moment of silence before we begin. The grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
We gather as individuals, broken yet holy. Gather as representatives of the culture around us, which is broken yet holy.
Christe eleison, Christe eleison, Christe eleison, Christe.
We gather as the body of Christ, broken yet holy.
Spiritu eleison, Spiritu eleison, Spiritu eleison, Spiritu eleison.
As a shepherd seeks lost sheep,
so God seeks and saves. As a woman rejoices over finding a lost coin,
so God rejoices over sinners. Let us confess our brokenness, our self-deception, and our need for God's forgiveness and reconciliation. We observe a time of silence as we begin our confession of sin.
God intends all people to be welcome at God's table.
Yet we set up barriers.
Holy God,
we confess our failure to live as your people.
Across the barriers that divide race from race,
reconcile us, O Christ,
by your cross. Across the barriers that divide rich from poor,
reconcile us, O Christ, by your cross.
Across the barriers that divide young from old,
reconcile us, O Christ, by your cross.
Across the barriers that divide men and women, people of different sexual orientations, people of different economic and social backgrounds, people of different abilities and educational attainments,
reconcile us, O Christ, by your cross.
Across the barriers that divide us here as we gather at Holden Village,
reconcile us, O Christ,
by your cross. All are welcome.
May all become
welcome.
Christ's holiness is revealed in abundant grace and love. In Christ's grace and love, our brokenness is filled and our divisions are mended. We gather here and now as the forgiven and healed children of God and the body of Christ. Amen. Our gathering hymn, our hymn of praise, is in the Lutheran Book of Worship, number 499. 499, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And let's stand to sing it.
Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, fill our heart to sing your praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. While the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love, teach me ever to adore thee. May I still thy goodness through. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come. And I safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me while a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace now like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to blame the God I love.
If my heart knows it, conceal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
God be with you.
And also with you. Steadfast God, your prophets set the plumb line of your righteousness and truth in the midst of your people. Grant us the courage to judge ourselves against it. Straighten all that is crooked or warped within us until our hearts and souls stretch upright to meet the grace and glory of Jesus the Christ.
Amen. Amen. We listen to our readings.
A reading from Amos. The prophet describes a vision he received. This is what the Lord God showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, holding a plumb line. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line? Then the Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with a sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent word to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the very center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from its land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there, prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered Amaziah, saying, I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I am a shepherd and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, Go, prophesy to my people Israel. Holy wisdom, holy word.
A reading from Ephesians. Praised be the Maker of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has bestowed upon us in Christ every spiritual blessing in the heavens. Before the world began, God chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless and to be full of love. God likewise predestined us through Jesus Christ to be adopted children, which was God's pleasure and will, that everyone might praise the glory of God's peace, which was freely bestowed on us, God's beloved, Jesus Christ. It is in Christ and through the blood of Christ that we have been redeemed and our sins forgiven. So immeasurably generous is God's favor given to all of us with perfect wisdom and understanding. God has taken pleasure in revealing the mystery of the plan through Christ to be carried out in the fullness of time, namely, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together in Christ. In Christ we were willed an inheritance, for in the decree of God and everything is administered according to the divine will and counsel, we were predestined to praise the glory of the Most High by being the first to hope in Christ. In Christ, you too were chosen. When you heard the good news of salvation, the word of truth, and believed in it, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the pledge of our inheritance, the deposit paid against the full redemption of a people who are God's own, to the praise of God's glory. Holy wisdom, holy word.
I invite you to rise for the reading of the gospel. As we sing our gospel acclamation printed in your worship sheet, we will sing it both before and after reading of the gospel.
Listen, listen, God is calling to the word inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort, and joy. Listen, listen, God is calling through the word inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort, and joy.
A reading from the Gospel according to Mark, the sixth chapter. Meanwhile, Herod, the ruler of Judea, had heard about Jesus, whose reputation had become widespread. Some people were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and that is why such miraculous works are being done. Others said, he is Elijah. Still others, he is a prophet like one of the prophets of old. When Herod heard of Jesus, he exclaimed, John, whom I beheaded, has risen from the dead. Now it was Herod who had ordered John arrested, chained, and imprisoned on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, whom Herod had married. For John had told Herod, "It is against the law for you to have your brother's wife." As for Herodias, she was furious with John and wanted to kill him, but was unable to do so. Herod feared John, knowing him to be good and holy, and kept him in custody. When Herod heard John speak, he was very much disturbed, yet he was moved by John's words. Herodias had her chance one day when Herod, on his birthday, held a dinner for the court circle for military officers and leaders of the Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, this delighted Herod and the guests so much that he told the young woman, "Ask me anything you like, and I will give it to you." And Herod swore an oath, "I will give you anything you ask, even half of my entire realm." She went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask?" Herodias replied, "The head of John the Baptizer." The woman hurried back to Herod and made her request, "I want you to give me the head of John the Baptizer on a platter." Herod was deeply distressed by this request, but remembering the oath he swore before the guests, he was reluctant to break his oath to her. So Herod immediately sent one of the bodyguards with orders to bring John's head. The guard beheaded John in prison and then brought the head on a platter and gave it to the young woman, who gave it to her mother. When John's disciples heard about this, they came and took the body away and laid it in a tomb. This is the gospel of Christ.
Listen, listen, God is calling, through the word inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort, and joy. Listen, listen, God is calling, through the word inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort, and joy.
Thank you. Please be seated. One of the great books of childhood, or for that matter, any age, is Antoine de Saint-Exupéry's The Little Prince, the story of a little boy who rules a tiny planet where he lives along with the fierce baobab trees, which he has to pull up by the roots each day, and three volcanoes and a beautiful flower. But the flower is fragile, and so the little prince decides on a pilgrimage through space to find a way to protect it. As he passes through the star-studded heavens, he meets a king on a tiny planet who believes that he can command all things to obey him. "Well then, command the sun to set," said the little prince. "Well, it will at 8:20 this evening. I command it." The second planet the little prince passes is ruled by a geographer who is mapping the stars but finds flowers to be of absolutely no value because they are just so ephemeral, they don't last. The third planet is inhabited by a businessman. The man was so much occupied that he didn't even raise his head to acknowledge the little prince's arrival. "Good morning, sir."
3 and 2 make 5. 5 and 7 make 12. 12 and 3 make 15. Good morning. That makes
501,622,731. 500 million what? Asked the little prince. Stars, of course. And why do you count them? Because I own them. How can you own the stars? Because I thought of it. When you find a diamond, you own it. When you find an island, you own it. So with me, I own the stars. And what do you do with the stars? Asked the little prince. I write the number of stars on a little paper, and then I put this paper in a drawer, and I lock it with a key. How extraordinary grown-ups are, thought the little prince to himself. Our lessons this evening are full of contrast. The second and the third lessons could not be farther apart in their worldview. Let me share with you just a little bit of the family history of Herod Antipas, the character who is at the center of this evening's gospel. Please stick with me. It is a complicated brew. We have to begin with Herod the Great, who had the children of Bethlehem murdered. First, Herod married Doris, by whom he had a son, Antipater, whom he murdered. Then he married Miriam, by whom he had two sons, Alexander and Aristobulus, whom he eventually murdered as well. It was said it was safer to be Herod's pig than Herod's son. Incidentally, Herodias, the wife of this evening's Herod, was the daughter of the murdered Aristobulus. Now, Herod the Great then married Maltake, by whom he had two sons, Archelaus and Herod Antipas, who is the Herod of our gospel passage and the ruler of the Galilee. Herod the Second, or was it Herod Philip, lived for a while as a wealthy citizen in Rome, and Herod Antipas came to visit his brother in Rome and then stole his wife and his daughter. Now, Herodias was thus the daughter of Herod's half-brother Aristobulus, and therefore his niece, and the wife of another of his half-brothers, and therefore his sister-in-law. I could go on, but I'll stop. It sounds like the Keystone Cops, except that it was butchery. It is one great tragic opera with murder after murder. Lest we think Herod's only sins were incestuous or sexual, the Gospel of Matthew reminds us that John the Baptist preached not only against Herod's marriage to Herodias, but about many other things as well. John the Baptist is like Amos preaching against the despotism of another king of another era. The Herods of the Old Testament and the Herods of the New Testament were like the king and the businessman of the tiny planets which the little prince passed by, who believed that they could command and control the universe. It was when John cried out against that kind of violence that he was arrested and finally put to death. In the story of the Herods, we see the height of arrogance and the butchery that flows from it. In the second lesson, we have a very different worldview. Paul's letter was probably intended by Paul to be a circular letter that went to all of the churches that Paul had founded. It is the letter that is most like pure poetry that Paul ever wrote. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14 are really just one long, flowing thought in Greek. It's one great, big, long verse that flows forth from the mind, the creative mind of Paul. Now, Paul is most likely writing from Rome, where he is in chains. He knows what a divisive, brutal world we live in. Paul isn't any simpleton. He knows where his own fate lies. And yet out from the middle of that experience, he pours forth a love song to God and a rhapsody to all of God's creation. Our second lesson is a hymn of adoration. It is the overture to a quite different opera that's just full of wonder after wonder. It's an opera into which the themes of Paul's rapturous text flow. Let me touch just a couple of those themes. The first is that God has intent for us. There's purpose running through this universe. That purpose is an affirmation that we do not simply exist. We're not simply the victims of this world's Herods. Rather, we have infinite value in God's sight. God has chosen you and me. God has chosen all of us to be adopted children. In the text study this past Wednesday evening in Chalet 6, we struggled with that text. What does it mean to say that we are adopted children? Why does Paul use that language? I can't answer that question, but I can tell you that Gundula, my wife, and I have two biological sons and two foster sons, and we love them all equally. Our foster sons are Vietnamese, and our only grandchildren to this point are Vietnamese, and they are the apple of our eye. I could not love them more deeply. My love is probably a poor example. But that's what Paul says about God's love. All of the children on the face of this earth are God's, and they are infinitely loved. For the Herods of this world to destroy one of them is to cause suffering in the very heart of God, and it should cause suffering to you and me also. God chooses every single human being. God chooses every creature to be a part of the divine economy, the divine plan. And because we are all chosen, none is greater than any other. The deeds of the Herods of this world are not a part of God's will. They are the destructive and violent opposites of what God intends. If that's the first theme in the overture, it's followed swiftly with a second. The second theme is God's intention for unity in the created order. Paul thrusts this significant theme before us to catch our attention simply because of the divisiveness that so often marks human existence. Those rifts between God and humankind, which we cause and not God. Those rifts between culture and culture, race and race, nation and nation, class and class. Those walls that separate human beings who for some reason have forgotten their common kinship. Paul writes, With all wisdom and insight, God has made known to us the mystery of the divine will according to God's good pleasure that God set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up, to unite, to integrate in him all things in heaven and on earth. The very heart of that passage is the intent for human unity. Paul was, of course, talking from a Christian perspective, and he believed that unity lay in Jesus. But we have to be careful as we attempt to live out that unity that we do not force our worldview upon others and thus become in our own way the Herods of this world. Paul offers instead a vision of human unity that is based on stewardship, justice, compassion, and upon servanthood. Paul offers a vision of human unity that is redemptive and built upon the suffering love of Jesus. Jesus himself passes before Herod and all of the Herods of this world on the way to Golgotha, on the way to the cross. And we pass before the Herods of this world also. Perhaps we are even Herod in our darkest moments. But Jesus, by grace, lifts us up and makes it possible for us to become a part of that unity in diversity which God intends to bind up the wounds of humankind. Which opera shall it be? Which shall we bring to the stage? The one in which we dance with John the Baptist's head on a platter? Or the one in which we join with all of God's children in that great circle dance before the throne of grace? Our hymn is in With One Voice, number 763, Let Justice Flow Like Streams.
You may be seated. Friends in Christ, God invites us to hold the needs of our sisters and brothers as close to us as our own needs. Loving our neighbors as ourselves, we offer thanksgiving and petitions on behalf of our friends and family, our neighbors near and far, the whole church, and the whole world. Please respond by saying, God of grace, hear our prayer. Let us pray together. God of unity, we come together as people from many places and many congregations, and we see unity in our community here at Holden. We pray for the painful divisions in the church, that there may be healing among people and among institutions. We ask for guidance and direction in seeking real and visible unity in the body of Christ throughout the world. God of grace, hear our prayer. God of justice and God of peace, we pray this night for all nations and all peoples, for peace and comfort in places of tensions and war, for food and water in places of poverty, for a hunger for justice and greater simplicity in places of abundance. Guide leaders and governments in the way of justice and peace. Guide all of us to become reconciling communities and nations. God of grace, hear our prayer. Creator God, we thank you for the beauty that is here at Holden Village, for the mountains, the forests, the rivers and waterfalls, for the glaciers and the cottonwoods, the wildflowers and the valleys. Show us how to be stewards of your creation here in this place and in the many places we will go back to in the coming days and months. Give us courage and commitment to live responsibly in relationship with the whole web of life. God of grace, hear our prayer. God of life, we pray this night for the gifts we receive in all seasons of our lives, for new life in birth, for energy in youth, strength in middle age, and wisdom in aging. Make us grateful for blessings of health and healing, and for blessings of each new day of possibility. God of grace, hear our prayer. Lord God, friend of those in need, we give thanks that Jesus came to untie our burdens and heal our spirits. We now lift up prayers for those who feel burdened and those who seek healing. We pray this night for those who mourn and those who are ill, for those who are lonely, fearful, and those feeling pain of broken relationships. We name them now, aloud or in silence. Lord God, assure them of your promise to be with us always, and give them the comfort and peace that only you can provide. God of grace, hear our prayer. We pray this night with thanksgiving for those who have come before us, whose lives have modeled your love and compassion, whose service has allowed us to be in this place, and for all who have given life and service to the church and to the world. May their examples, along with the saints you have given us in our own day, fill your church and ourselves with unending hope. God of grace, hear our prayer. Hear our prayers, God of power, and through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, free us from the grip of sin and death, that we may seek you as the fullness of life and proclaim your gift of love and grace to all the world. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please greet your neighbor with Christ's reconciling word of peace.
you. Good to have you here.
God's peace.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Hey, Peter. God's peace.
God's peace.
Hey, God's peace.
God's peace.
God's peace. Thanks for singing in the choir.
God's peace.
God's peace.
To James, God's peace. This year's summer offerings are being divided between the Christian peacemaking teams, groups of Christians from a number of different denominations who go to various places like Colombia, Palestine, and Iraq to work in whatever ways possible to bring peace and truth to bear. One of our recent volunteers is currently working in the Christian peacemaking teams in Palestine. And a Hispanic social work ministry related to our annual Abriendo celebration. We invite you to be generous. We receive our offering.
We rise to sing the offertory printed in your worship bulletin.
Every day is a day of thanksgiving. God's been so good to me. Every day God's blessing me. Every day is a day of thanksgiving. Take the time to glorify our God today. Every day is a day of thanksgiving. God's been so good to me. Every day God's blessing me. Every day is a day of thanksgiving. It's time to glorify our God today. You keep blessing me, blessing me. You open my eyes that I might see. You're blessing me. You keep blessing me, take the time to glorify our God today. You keep blessing me, take the time to open my eyes that I might see. You're blessing me, you keep blessing me. Take the time to glorify our God today.
Just a word about how we do communion, how we do the distribution here. Both wine and grape juice are available at this table. Wine is served by both common cup and by individual cup. Grape juice is available by individual cup only. And so if you prefer grape juice, please take an individual cup and move to the second pitcher. The second pitcher, the first pitcher will contain wine. If you would prefer a blessing rather than the elements, please come forward with your hands folded and come to the person distributing the bread and you will receive a blessing. All children are welcome to commune at this table. We are a community gathered here by the new birth in Christ. As such a community, we wish no one to be left out from this celebration at Jesus' table. Jesus dies and is raised again for all people, for all nations and cultures and classes. We wish to welcome all sisters and brothers, regardless of race, economic status, gender, sexual orientation, political or economic viewpoints, education, ability, language. In Eucharist, we meet together at God's table, and Jesus is our host. We continue now with Lalo Lilo, the preface.
Lalo Lalo Lilo. Lelo lelo lilo lo lelo lelo li. Lelo lelo lilo. Lelo lelo lilo. Lelo lo lelo lelo li. Our God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the living God. It's right to give all of our thanks and our praise. Lelo lelo lilo, lelo lelo lilo. Lelo lelo lilo, lo lelo lelo li. Lelo lelo lilo, lelo lelo lilo. Lelo lelo lilo, lo lelo lelo li.
It's our joy and job to give thanks all our days. So with the church and the saints in heaven, we praise you and join in their unending hymn. Lelo, lelo, lalo. 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 Lelo, lalo. Lelo, lelo, lalo. Holy, holy, holy God of power and might.
Holy, holy, holy God of might.
Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of our God. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest. Lelo, lelo, lalo. Lelo, lelo, lalo. Lelo, lelo.
We continue together. Maker
of
light
and dark, day and night, creator of sun and moon, stars and all planets, you fashion days and seasons and years, each with their own uniqueness, Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, you who live through all time and beyond time.
Through Jesus Christ, the throne, you reconciled your people of all names and races. He called your children
into your loving embrace.
On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you.
Do this for the remembrance of me."
After supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people.
Do this for the remembrance of me."
Please use that form of Jesus' prayer which is closest to your heart. We pray.
Our Father, in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us.
And lead us not into temptation, as we forgive those who do. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This is the body of Christ, broken for the mending of all divisions.
This is Christ's table, and all are welcome. Here all divisions cease. Here in Christ's body we are made one. Come, everyone, for this is the banquet intended for all God's saints.
You may be seated.
Our first communion hymn is number 699 in your Blue With One Voice hymnal. 699.
since Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praise the Savior, am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song.
Our second communion hymn is number 665, 665, in the same Blue With One Voice hymnal.
Ubi caritas et amor. Thank you.
I invite you to rise. May the body and blood of Christ strengthen you to be God's people in all that you say and do. Amen. Amen.
O God, through this meal you unite us as one with you and the whole creation. Forgiven, empowered, and strengthened to see the world with new eyes, send us out to live your will in truth and action. Amen.
God, beyond all time, maker of day and night, bless our waking and our sleeping. God, within our time, savior of all that is temporal and mortal, bless our working and our resting. God, uniting past, present, and future, sanctifier of every moment, bless our doing, our being, and our becoming. Amen. Amen. Our final hymn is in With One Voice, number 797, 797, O God, beyond all praising.
We will have an interlude between the first and the last verse. Thank you.
Go in peace and serve the living God.
Thanks be to God.